Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's pick up where Rabbi Karapkin left off yesterday in Gimel Amud Aleph. We've got a long daf ahead of us today. The Gemara is going to begin by going through a brisa that we saw in the previous Amud in regards to kodshim, or something which a non-Jew was maktish as a korban, and what the status of that is. So the Gemara, we'll start from Amar Mar. We said in this brisa in the previous Amud, so let's first of all explain something that I think is crucial for the continuation of the Gemara. Lo nehenin velo mo'ilin. Lo nehenin is very straightforward. You can't have hana from it. And the Gemara is going to say this is Durabanan. Lo mo'ilin doesn't mean what you might think it means. Right? If you were to just read the words lo mo'ilin, what would you think that means? You can't do me'ila. But what lo mo'ilin means is that rules of me'ila do not apply. Not vice versa. So again, we're saying me'ila is not relevant here. Okay? Lo nehenin midrabanan, that's a dindrabanan of hana velo mo'ilin midoraisa, and midoraisa, the rules of mi'ilah do not apply. Maitama, what's the reason? Tirsiv nefesh kisim olmal v'chata bishkaga. So if you look at the psukim that describe mi'ilah, it uses the word v'chata. And you have v'alfinan chet chet mitruma, so therefore there's a comparison due to the words chet found in psukim both here and in truma, both by mi'ilah and by truma. Uv'truma ksiv b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdei kochavim. And by truma we have a pasuk which tells us that truma is relevant to whom? Only b'nei Yisrael, and not to non-Jews. So, being that truma is irrelevant to non-Jews, so too me'ilah will be irrelevant to these non-Jewish hektishes. Okay, the Gemara continues. Let's continue through that brisa. If all of these things, you know, if someone ate from them in these fashions, from pigel, nosar, or tameh, then in all of these cases, obviously this is a tremendous, tremendous isser when it comes to Jewish korbanos. When it comes to non-Jewish korbanos, you don't quite have that. So why are these non-Jewish korbanos excluded from those? Dichsiv ba betum, as it says about tumah, daber al aron vel banav v'inazeru mikodshei v'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalalu es shem kodshi. V'yalif nosar chilu chilu mitumah. Okay, and the Gemara is basically going to repeat itself, but the Gemara tells that the pasuk relevant to tumah is, not truma, but tumah, that it says both v'inazrum mikodshei v'nei Yisrael. Okay, so that sounds like it's talking about only Jewish korbanos, but two, it also says v'lo yichalelu es shem kodshi. And therefore, we're going to compare it to Noser from the fact that it says, but in both cases, chilul, mitoma, dichsiv gabi tuma, and we're going to repeat ourselves v'nei Yisrael, v'lo yichalelu. Uchsiv gabi Noser, and it says, by Noser v'ochlav, avono yisakies, kodosh Hashem, chilel. Okay, so there it says the word chilel as well. So that teaches us that also this rule only applies to Jews and not to non-Jews. V'yalef pigul avon avon minosar. And again, when I say applies to Jews and not non-Jews, I'm not obviously referring to the fact that the non-Jews are doing this avera, but a non-Jewish korban that has this particular status. Okay? And because we have in that pasuk, yes, kodesh Hashem chilel, so we're comparing it back to the case of tuma, which is also only relevant to Jewish korbanos. And so too in that pasuk, we also had ve'ochlav avono yisav yalef pigul avon avon minosar. And from, you know, and pigul is learned out, avon avon from nosar, dichsiv gabe pigul ve'anefesh ochelas mimenu avona tisa. So too, we have the word avon, which appears in both contexts. Therefore, we learn that the halachos, from one to the next, to the next, to the next, telling us that when a non-Jew brings a korban, these rules are not relevant. As we said, and as we just summarized, all of these are relevant only to Jewish korbanos and not non-Jewish korbanos. The next part of the brisa that we quoted says that there's no ruling of tmura by them. Lo yachlifenu velo yamir oso. And where does it say this rule of tmura? Anybody know, by the way, what's the connection between the previous mesechta and our mesechta? Why is it that we jump from arach and tmura? They seem quite disjointed. So, this Gemara here will provide you with the answer for those of you who are familiar with the psukim. Uchsiv bereish inyan, because they're in the same section of the Torah. And it says at the beginning of that section, right, Daber al bnei Yisrael, ish ki afli neder, be'erkecha. And there it specifically says, Daber al bnei Yisrael, that this is a halacha which is relevant only to, again, kachim of bnei Yisrael, so kachim of a non-Jew, this halacha of Timura will not apply and will not be relevant. So there will not be an issue there. Lashon Acher, one other alternative possibility is not to look back to the beginning of the previous section, is to say, Ve'enosim Timura Maitama. Why don't we say that the rules of Timura are relevant to an animal within which a non-Jew is Makdish? Timuras Behem, Alamaster Behem, Alamaster Behem, Alamaster Dagon. So we again go through a chain link of Hekeshim. We go from Timura to Maaser Behema, and Maaser Behema is compared to Maaser Dagon, okay, to regular taking off a tenth or Maaser from grain. V'gabe Maaser Dagon k'siv, k'yes Maaser b'nei Yisrael, sh'erim l'ashem b'nei Yisrael, v'lov de'kochavim. So to there we have a drasha directly from the pasuk that tells us it's only relevant to Jews. So to here, when we learn out Timura from that, we're able to say this is relevant to Jewish korbanos and not to non-Jewish korbanos. Continues the Gemara, there's no particular reason why we have two dots here. It's still continuing to cite that same brisa that we had before. Ve'ein maybe nesachim ala korbanotau nesachim devar Rabbi Shimon. And what Rick Rabkin mentioned yesterday is that, the interpretation of this is that although he may not pledge a korban of pure nesachim, he can't give us a bottle of wine and say, please pour this over the mizbeach. However, his korbanos that he brings, when those korbanos require still needs to have pourings together with them, because those are the rules of korbanos. Minan, immediately, what's the source of this? Dana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Ezrach, the pasuk says, kol ha-ezrach yasekacha es eleh. Ezrach comes to teach us that only a local Jewish citizen, Ezrach may be nesachim, vein ha-ovad kochavim may be nesachim. Only Jews and non-Jews bring plain nesachim. Yachal lo tehei olah satuna nesachim. If that's the case, the simple understanding would be to exclude the non-Jew entirely from the idea of bringing these pourings, even alongside korbanos. Talmud Lomar says the pasuk, no, kacha, kol ezrach yaseh kacha, all korbanos that have nesachim need to be brought with the nesachim, period.
But the kohen would have a bottle.
Well, I mean, the non-Jew could bring it with, presumably, if he's being matzah korban, he could bring it, but it's just that he can't offer his own. Okay, what about stam yenam? And well, let's not deal with that right now. We can come up with all sorts of answers, maybe not mevushal, because that may be a question.
I thought I saw it. It said that they bring it for he brings the money.
Correct. That's what I was going to say. Was probably the simplest understanding is not that he actually literally brings a bottle of wine, but that he makes sure that it can be brought.
Why is the Torah used the expression of Ezra? Is that a particular native?
I mean, that's what it means. Why in this particular context
because
does it...
Ezrach would mean somebody who was from the land. If someone's a chutzlords, let's say, is not an Ezrach anymore.
Right. So that's not the way the Gemara interprets it here. Sometimes we compare it to a ger,
yeah.
Ezrach versus ger. It'd be interesting to look in the context there and to see if there's some particular reason or elsewhere in Chazal as to why it chose this particular lashon, but nevertheless, this is the way we darshan it here to mean not a non-Jew. Okay. Continues the Gemara, quoting that brisa that we had yesterday. Amar Biosi Rani b'chulam lahachmir. I think you should be machmir in all of these cases to say that perhaps all of these isurim are relevant to non-Jewish korbanos. To say there is a concern of meila, there is a concern of pegel, there is a concern of these all these things. At the very least, lahachmir ma'itam Allah Hashem k'siv. Because at the end of the day, the pasuk in which we include non-Jews in bringing korbanos tells us that they are asher akrivu la Hashem. And if they're brought to Hashem, there's a certain base which all korbanos follow. The fact that they're being brought to Hashem follow all the same halachos. And despite the fact that we may have these comparisons in some cases, it doesn't matter so long as they're all intended la Hashem, the non-Jewish korbanos would be included, and only non-Jews themselves obviously would not have these concerns. Right? We can't just start applying all of the 613 mitzvot to non-Jews. So, continues the Gemara. We continue with the Braisa. Pamed Varma Morim Bekadshe Mizbeach. We qualify the statement by saying that we're only talking about when a non-Jew pledged Kadshe Mizbeach, some sort of animal for a korban. Aval Bekadshe Bedek Abayis. But when it comes to, if he would just to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Bedek Abayis, that would certainly Moalin Bahen. There, the halachos of Me'ila would apply. I mean, obviously, you don't have to worry about pigle when you're, giving something to the Bedek Abayis. There's no relevant to the korban part, but the mi'ila part, yes, is relevant, even according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who said first that mi'ila is irrelevant. Now, this is a bit of a problem, because, at the end of the day, we have a drasha that he says will exclude a non-Jew's korbanos from being included in mi'ila. So how does he get out of that? Ask the Gemara, my tama, what's the reason? When do we learn this limud that chet tells us, just like by truma, a non-Jew is excluded? So too, when a non-Jew brings some sort of donation to the Beis HaMikdash, it should also be excluded from mi'ila. So that has to be dumya de truma. It has to be similar to truma de kadosh kedusha saguf, which has intrinsic value in the object itself, such as would be the case when you're bringing an actual korban. However, However, Kedushas Berak HaBayis, which means it's just being donated, which is essentially just a monetary donation, this would not be the case, and therefore we would not be able to compare Truma and Me'ila in these cases to say that it would not apply to a non-Jewish donation, and rather Me'ila would apply, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so Ad Kan, now we finished, you know, really going through piece by piece this brisa that we brought yesterday, and the Gemara will now move on to something else that we touched on briefly yesterday. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav. Kolosa aseh batorah, or sheh batorah, asa b'maaseh chayav, lo asa b'maaseh patur. Any losa aseh in the Torah, if the person did an actual action, a physical action of sorts, meaning not talking, not just verbalizing something, then they would be chayav. However, lo asa b'maaseh, if they didn't do any action, patur, they would be exempt. Correct, we're talking about Malkus here. The Gemara will elsewhere say loke, but yes, it means Malkus here as well. Asks the Gemara 1 second, do klalahu delav shein bo maase pater? Are you telling me there's a rule that any losa ase, which does not involve a physical action, will not get the person Malkus? Vahare meimar! Says, what about our Masechta? We're learning about Timura. What do you do when you do a Timura? You simply say, I want this animal to be holy instead of this one. And yet, says the Gemara, what happened to the first Mishnah? Right? Barimimar delashein b'maseh, who that is certainly alashein b'maseh, v'laki. And you do get Malkus. Titnan, as we learned in our Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, lo shu ra shalamir alashim ehemir mumar v'sofeg esor arbayim. That, again, the Isra of Timur will apply, and one will get Malkus. So how could you possibly say this rule about alashein b'maseh? We have this exception very clearly right in front of us. So that teaches us that that can't be the case. Amar lecha Rav, Rav would tell you, no, we can answer this up in a different way. Hamani Reb Yehuda hi. This, who is this? It's Reb Yehuda de Amar, lav she'ein bo maase lokin alav. That Reb Yehuda himself is of the opinion that when it comes to a lav she'ein bo maase, one will get Malkus, and therefore, this Mishnah was said by Reb Yehuda. And asks the Gemara, what I see some of you looking back to the previous daf, and says, what happened? Did Rav sleep through Rabbi Karabkin's shir yesterday morning? Umimatzis mokmas lamas nisin k'Rabbi Yehuda? Can we really establish this mission like Rabbi Yehuda? Vokim tel reisha deloka Rabbi Yehuda. He says, look back at yesterday's stuff. We specifically said that the reisha cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. So how can Rav come ahead and tell us here that it is? You know, this case is Rabbi Yehuda, but we specifically learned the other case is not him. And why would we split up the Mishnah? Diktani, as we learned, hakol memirin, hakol asu yimayim, what does it mean, everybody? Lastu ye yorish, this includes a yorish, someone who's coming to inherit. Udeloka Reb Yehuda, right? As we explained yesterday, it's not like Reb Yehuda. So says the Gemara, it's true. Rav was aware of this, and Rav's going to give you the following answer. Hai Tana savar lakavasei bechada. So the Tana of our Mishnah, who's not Reb Yehuda himself, but another Tana, holds like Reb Yehuda in one respect, meaning, delav she'ein b'maase lo kan alav, that one will get Malkus for alav she'ein b'maase, therefore he says you get Malkus for Timura. However, Upalagalei Bechadan argues on him. In the other case, the Ilu Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yorishenu Somech Yorishenu Meimir. Rabbi Yehuda holds himself that a Yorish does not have all this power to be Somech, to be Meimir. Again, reference yesterday's daf. V'Tana Zidan Savar Yorish Somech Yorish Meimir. And our Tana does hold that a Yorish, someone who's going to inherit, does have the ability to do these things on behalf of the person who he's inheriting from, and therefore it will be relevant. So it's one Tana who holds like Rabbi Yehuda in this respect, and not like in that respect, and therefore Rav's opinion to say that any lav she'ein bo maase ein lokin alav, that one does not get malchus for an inactive lav, will still stand. Okay, and that's the end of this section. Now we're going to go and slightly modify this according to a different opinion. Amar of Idi bar Avin Amar of Amar Amar Yitzchak Amar of Yochanan Meshur Yosi Aglili. That was quite the long transmission there. Kol lo sa'ase she'betorah, any Losa say in the Torah, as we said, asa b'maase loke, one will receive malchus if they do an action, lo asa b'maase pater. However, if they do not, they will be exempt, chutz minishpa umemar umekalal chavero, except for the following cases. Number one, swearing, and the Gemara is going to go through this. Again, swearing, presumably, is just saying something. Okay, what exactly types of swearing? Swearing falsely, swearing in the name of Hashem, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara. Number two, meimar, our case of Timura that we're discussing in our Masechta. And three, mikalel chavero b'shem. If you curse someone else out using Hashem's name, af al pi shelo asa maase, in all of these cases, even though there was no physical action accompanying it, you're chayev. Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amru, and in fact, there's an additional case in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, they said, Af hamaktim truma lebikurim, even if one does truma before bikurim, bikurim is supposed to be brought first, but if someone is makfir truma beforehand, that would also be a case where technically you could be doing this without any action, whether it be bachshava, whether it be bedibur, and therefore, in that case, you could be over, and you would get malchus for doing this, and the Gemara will discuss this in tomorrow's daf, even though, again, you didn't do a physical action in that case. That would be another case where it would be included in the list of exceptions where you would get malchus.
May I ask a question? Maybe the Gemara is going to discuss this. Mm-hmm. Isn't there an easy way to get out of this dilemma with Tamura and a Maisa, Lav Shembo Maisa? It's just say Tamura kicks in when it involves also a Maisa, i.e. when you do a Maisa with the Korban. In other words, I mean,
we're sort of going to invoke that. It will come up, it will be relevant to the case first of Nishba, mm-hmm. and that may be an interpretation of the Gemara on, you know, the next Amud. It doesn't seem to be that that's the interpretation, but I think certainly the point is correct in saying that when we have a ma'aseh that will come along at some point with just a verbal avera, we will be able to say that was an avera that was done. We certainly will be able to say that, yes. That's correct. Misfara, again, do we say that when it comes to tmura? Well, it may be a long gap of time between someone actually tries to transfer kedusha before they actually bring the korban. So
right from the moment they make the designation.
Correct. That's the issue. But anyways, we will see, you know, this the relevance of that point certainly is correct, yes. And we will see the relevance of that point. Stop, that point is certainly correct. Okay. Says the Gemara, fine. Nishba minalan. Let's go on the first of these exceptions. Meaning, in general, the Gemara has now said that they'll agree to this rule of lav shein bo masa in lokan alav, but we've got a whole list of exceptions. So exception number one, nishba. What does nishba mean and where do we get it from? Minalan, where do we learn this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Meir. Amar Kra, we have a pasuk. If someone swears, if someone is, you know, swears in the name of Hashem for no purpose, in vain, says the pasuk, Ki lo yinakeh Hashem es asher yisar es shemo lashav. Hashem will not cleanse he who takes the name of Hashem in vain. Bezdin shel mala ein menakeno. So says the Gemara, we have a drasha. It's only who doesn't cleanse this person. It's only the bezdin shel mala. It's only up there that they don't clean him up. Aval bezdin shel mata, but down here, the bezdin malkin oso u menakin oso. They'll give him malchus, and that by that, they'll cleanse him from his avera, which he did. So, anyways, at this point, I was telling the first year, which, you know, did a better job of waking them up, perhaps, is I saw a joke from Rabbi Josh Waxman on Parsha blog once. He asked the following question. He says, what would be the halacha if by Yesota, she was unable to drink, she had a problem, she could not swallow, would they be allowed to give her the Mesota intravenously? Right? So, you know, if people are pondering the question, he says, what do you mean this Mefurish in the Aseres HaDibros? You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. So anyways, terrible joke. And this got a louder laugh because, again, people are more awake here. But nevertheless, it's a really bad joke. Yeah, I know. Anyway, says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye. Rav Papa said to Abaye, Ve'ema lo tehavi le nekiyot klal. Why are you choosing to darshan the pasuk in this strange way? It says they're not going to be cleansed. So why would you assume, oh, that only means up there, but down here they will be? What kind of drasha is this? Says Abaye back to him, no. Amar le, im kein lichtov kral lo yinakeh, period. The pasuk should have just said then, he will not be cleansed. Why does it say vilishtok and it should have been quiet? Hashem, why does it say lo yinakeh Hashem? Hashem won't cleanse this person. Lamali, why does it say that? Bezdin shal malahu din menakin oso, bezdin shal matzah malkin menakin oso. Because that comes to teach us only up there with Hashem will Hashem, bezdin shal mala, not forgive this. But Bezdin Shalmata will, in fact, I know it sounds a little bit bizarre, you know, if Hashem's not forgiving the person, who are we? But we're saying that it's only up there that they won't be forgiven. Obviously, Hashem will forgive the person once they have their punishment and they're cleansed by the Bezdin Shalmata. But it is still a little bit bizarre. I get that. So, at this point, basically, we now have said that we see a raya from the Torah to say that if someone uses Hashem's name in vain, in a shavua, then they will get malchus, despite the fact that it's a lav shein bo masa from this pasuk that we mentioned of lo yinakeh Hashem. Okay, ashkechan shvuas shav. So we figured out a shvuas shav. Okay, meaning where you take the name of Hashem in vain. Shvuas sheker minalan. What about the case of when someone swears falsely? So they take a shvuah and it's in fact not true. How do we know that even in that case, where the Gemara is assuming that that is included in the word shvuah as well, to say that when, for example, if I were to say some sort of shvuah, and the Gemara is going to go through the details, which is not true, then I would be liable even though I didn't do a maisa. So let's see, and this is where your point comes in from before. Pay close attention. Says the Gemara, and it will get a little bit technical as we go through here. It took a while to explain it earlier, and I'm sure it will take a while to explain it again. I think I get it, which is good. But not guaranteed. We'll see what we get through. So says the Gemara here. Shvuas sheker minalan. Rabbi Yochanan di dei amar lashav lashav shnei pamim. Well, the pasuk says lashav twice. Im einu einu l'shvuas shav, tneu einu l'shvuas sheker deloke. Says Rabbi Yochanan is very simple. It says lashav twice. We have two exclusions, so that'll include a shvuas sheker. Maskif l'arbavo. Rabbo asks the following question, which is central to our discussion. Shvuas sheker hechidami. What do you mean by swearing falsely? Meaning, if I were to ask you, give me an example of someone who swears falsely. Go. Give me an example.
This is a chair.
So we'll get to pikadon later on. Okay, so the Gemara is now going to go through this. Let's say a person says, I'm not going to eat ice cream today. And he eats ice cream. Let's say that was the type of shvuas sheker that we're talking about. Says Rabbi Avo, exactly what you pointed out. Hasamu maisa deka'avid. There the person's doing a maisa. He's eating ice cream. That's what's making his sheker false. And if that's the case, of course he's going to get malchus. Why? Not because he did something without an action, but he did an action, says the Gemara. Ve'ela de'amar she'ochal v'lo ochal. And what about the flip side? Let's say someone says, I promise I'm going to eat ice cream today. And he doesn't eat ice cream. So that would be a good case, right? That's only a verbal iser that you did, right? Mm-hmm. Wrong. Hahumi laki, says the Gemara, you won't get malchus in that case. Via itmar, and again, hahumi laki, is that person get malchus? Via itmar, but we said, we have a mamre machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan himself. Shvua she'ochal kikar ze hayom, ve'avar hayom velo achal. Let's say a person made a promise that they would eat this loaf of bread today, and the day passed and they hadn't eaten it. Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shimon Lakish, Amri, they both agree, Eino loke, that you don't get malchus. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, why is it that you don't get malchus? Eino loke, de lav shein b'maseh, hu v'chal lav shein b'maseh, and loke n'lav, meaning that this is not one of the exceptions that we enumerated before. Reish Lakish Amar, and Reish Lakish says you don't get malchus, eino loke, for a different reason. Mishum dehavale hasra safik, because when they warned the person, there was no knowing whether or not they were going to transgress in this action, meaning they warned the person before he's taking the shvuah. Now, they have no idea if the shvuah is going to be true or not. It could be a shvuah sheker, could not be a shvuah sheker. He still has the ability to eat the loaf of bread any time that day. So therefore, since the hasra was no good, chal hasra safek, in loka nalav, we can't give malchus in that case. So now, we're basically, you know, stuck up a tree, as Rabbi Avo points out. We've got a problem. If it's either of these two cases, in one case it's a lav sheyesh b'maaseh, because you did do the eating when you promised you wouldn't. In the other case, we just know the halacha is you don't get malchus. So what possible case of shvuah sheker could the pasuk be including to give malchus to? Says Rav Avoh, Ela Amar Rav Avoh, Tebachi La Tehei, let this case be, De Achalti Velo Achalti. The case is not when one is swearing on the future, but when one is swearing on the past. If someone says, you know, I ate it, and in reality they didn't eat. So if I say, you know, for example, I was, again, the example that I gave to the first year, it's great to have a first year, because then you can try out to see what works for people and what doesn't work for people. For example, if I were to swear, last night for breakfast, I had a very juicy hamburger, which I did not. I had other good food, but it wasn't a juicy hamburger. And in fact, I didn't. That would be the case of shvuas sheker, because I swore that I had a hamburger, but I didn't. Done. So it's swearing on the past. Therefore, what am I doing now? I am doing an avera right now by swearing falsely. And it's not really miyuchas to my maase yesterday. It's simply that I swore now. That is a lav shein b'maisa, which we will get malchus for. That's Rabbi Avo's solution. Okay? All clear on the case? It's a swearing.
On the shua, not on the action that he did when he gets.
Correct, because this is now, and again, now we'll warn him on the shua, don't make a shua sheker, don't promise that you had a hamburger, because you didn't. That's the Gemara. Umayishna dekam rabbi achalti v'lo achalti, mi ocha v'lo ochal. Why is it that we should think that achalti and lo achalti is any more of what the pasuk would include as opposed to ochal v'lo ochal? Meaning, why are we assuming that it would refer to the past in this pasuk any more than it would refer to the future? Meaning it's true that we've found that that's the case where it's, you know, where the halacha is that you will get malchus, But why should the pasuk conclude that? It's all based on the drasha of the pasuk. Amar Rava says beferish rips atara sheker domela shav. It's because if we're learning it out from shav, it has to be similar to swearing for no reason. Ma shav l'sha'avar, just like a shvuas shav will be on something in the past, so too af sheker l'sha'avar, so too is swearing falsely will be on something that happened in the past, and therefore when we include it from la shav shnei pa'amim, we will include a sheker which is similar to swearing for no reason, which will be on the past as well. Swearing on the future presumably wouldn't be a case of lashav, or the regular case of lashav.
What is the definition of lashav? Like, you swear something that everybody knows is true.
That would be, you know, yeah.
Maybe that's the case that I said before.
This would.
Yeah, I mean, you can see.
I swear this is a chair.
Right, behind the shvuas shav, ki onishba l'shanosas hayadua la'adam. Right, that's Rashi's example. He says, you swore to change something that everybody knows. Meaning something that's completely irrelevant, but it is based on a previous premise, certainly. So that would be why it's considered Lisha Avar.
You could say that it goes according to the past, and then it answers Rav Shlokish's question that you can't do something that's uncertain.
But that's a completely different case. That's a completely different case. That's talking about a future case in Rav Shlokish's case.
Right, and that's why we have to say in the past, because now it's...
No, that was the Gemara. That was the whole question in Rav Avo. Yes, absolutely. You're 100% correct. But the point is that just like Shvuas Shav is L'Sha'avar, so to Shvuas Sheker will be L'Sha'avar, and we're talking about a case where someone swore that I did or didn't do this yesterday. Okay? Now, ask the Gemara. No? Okay. Okay. Says the Gemara, Eisve. We now have got a bit of a problem, and this is where it gets really tricky. Eisve Rabbi Yirmi Ela Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Avo the following question. If the Braisa says, Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zeh, Shvuah shelo ochlena, Shvuah shelo ochlena. Let's say someone was really intense about what they didn't do. So I swear I didn't eat it. I swear I didn't eat it. I swear I didn't eat it. Ve'achla. And in fact, that I won't eat it. No, I didn't. Sorry, three times. I won't eat it. 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 Three times. Ve'achla. And they ended up eating it. Ein ochayev ela achas. They only end up having to worry about one Chiyuv, as we're going to see, it's going to be Malkus if they do it on purpose, and if they do it accidentally, B'shogeg, it's a carbon olaviyored. So they're only Chayuv one, even though they swore three times, you only have to get punished once. Says the Braisa, V'zohi shvuas bitui, and this is the case of someone saying a shvua, She'chayav en alzdona makos, falshigigasa, carbon olaviyored. And this is the case which you're Chayuv makos if you do it on purpose, and carbon olaviyored if you do it not on purpose. Says the Gemara, Zohi, this is it. Limute mai, what's this coming to exclude? Lav limute achalti velo achalti. This is not coming to exclude our case of swearing on the past. Dilo lucky that you shouldn't get Malkus. Says this is the case that you get Malkus and bring an Olivio raid. That would mean that in other cases you do not get Malkus. So how is Rav Avo going to understand this? Says the Gemara on his behalf, lo. Zohi dal shigigasa maisi karban, aval achalti velo achalti lo maisi karban. He would answer you to say, what does it mean, Zohi? The exclusion is only in regards to bringing the karban, not in regards to the malchus, but really, in the case of achalti velo achalti swearing on the past, you will still get malchus, but you won't bring the karban. Whose opinion is that? Umani Rabbi Yishmalhi, that's Rabbi Yishmal's opinion. Damar eno chayev ela ala asid lavo. You're only chayev for that which you swear on the future to bring a karban. Olavi Yored, but if you swore in the past, you don't bring an Olavi Yored. You will still get Malkus, however, if you swore falsely in the past. Avomilka Laki. Ema Seifa. Okay, fine. We got the Reisha of this down. We solved the Reisha. What about the Seifa? We say again, you know, Zohi Shvuas Shav Shechayavin Alzdona Makos V'al Shigigasa Patur. Okay, so we've got another case there. We would say, in that case, okay, that same Mishnah, sorry, I said it was a Braisa, but it's in fact a Mishnah, right? Again, we say another version, which is, this is a Shvuas Shav, that your Chayev, again, if you do it intentionally, Malkus, but your Pater, if you do it accidentally, you don't bring a Karban. So Zohi Limute Mai, same question. What does it mean, this is the one? Lav Limute Achalti V'lo Achalti, it is not becoming to exclude when someone swore in the past, Delo Laki? That you won't get Malkus, because in this case, you don't even bring a carbon olavi yored. Right? So wouldn't it be coming to say, only this case you get Malkus? Says the Gemara, lo. Zohi dal shekigasa pater mi carbon. This is the case where you're pater, aval achalti, velo achalti, but in our case, where you're swearing on the past, maisi carbon, you do have to bring a carbon, in fact. This is completely so, sir, what we said a moment ago. Right? Says the Gemara, Omani Rabbi Akiva, he is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Mevi'im Karban L'Sha'avar, one will bring a Karban on the past. Okay? Meaning, even if one swore on the past, like our case. Therefore, this Reisha matches up with Rabbi Yishmael, and the Seifa matches up with Rabbi Akiva. That's the way the Gemara explains this. Ask the Gemara, V'ha'amris Reisha Rabbi Yishmael. But one second, what are you switching around to Rishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Rishmael? Keep it straight. Elami de Seifa, Rabbi Akiva, Reisha Namar, Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, no, if you're going to say the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, then you've got to keep the Reisha Rabbi Akiva as well. So then how are we going to resolve the Reisha? We originally said that it's coming to tell us that you don't bring a Karban Olevi Yored by the past. Now we've got a bit of a steer in that regard, because Rabbi Akiva says you will bring a Karban on the past. Says the Gemara, V'Reisha Lav Limute Achalti V'lo Achalti Ela Limute Ochal V'lo Ochal. Says, well, there are four technical cases, and here's where you're going to have to look up, and it's tough, and it's complicated, and I apologize, I will do my best. There are four possible cases of swearing. There's when someone swears, I will not eat this, and they eat it. There's when someone swears, I will eat this, and they don't eat it. And then the same for the past. The first case of the Brisa, which if you look back up, says what? It says, Shelo ochal, I will not eat this. Rabbi Akiva, in that case, would come to exclude where the person says, I will eat it, and didn't. He's not coming to exclude the past. He's coming to exclude another case of future, which is not that the person said, Shelo ochal, and ate it, but rather the person said, ochal, and didn't eat it. That's what Rabbi Akiva is coming to exclude in the Reisha. Okay, and therefore, that's a case of exclusion in the Reisha. The Seifa, however, stays as we explained it, and Rabbi Akiva will hold on a Shvuah on the past, one will still bring a Korban and get Malkus. Ask the Gemara, Omaishna, what's the difference? Mishum dekai bilahaba, mimaitilahaba. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? That one time we're excluding another case of the future, and the other time we're excluding a case of the past, right? Mishum dekai bilahaba, mimaitilahaba. When we can, when we're talking about the future already, we'd like to use another case of the future. However, in the Seifa, where obviously you can't use another future case because it's simply not the halacha, so therefore, again, kai bilahaba, mimaitilahaba, when we can. When we're talking about a lahaba, should we really exclude something that's on the past? No, we should try to exclude the lahaba when we can, the future vow and future oath when we can, whatever it is. And therefore, in this first case, we will exclude another case of the future. However, in the second case, we will exclude the past. So it comes out that we've defended Rabbi Avo suitably, and Rabbi Avo says the case where you're going to get Malkus, and again, it's going to be a machlokas, really Tanaim, as to whether or not you're also going to have a Karban Olevi Yored, is in the past. If someone made a promise that yesterday I did or didn't eat X, Y, or Z. It wasn't too bad. Okay, good. Says the Gemara, and this next Gemara, as I mentioned, I don't quite understand, to be perfectly honest with you. It's a one-liner, but hey. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Umeymar. Okay, and then we're talking about the case of Temura. Temura is a case where we say it's a lav she'in b'maaseh, but you still get Malkus for. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Rabbi Yochanan told Latana, please, lo tisni Umeymar. Don't add this in. Why? Mishum dibdiburo asa maaseh. By speaking, you did an action here. Okay, speaking is the action here, as Rashi explains, and the Mefarshim explained, because you made an animal which was chulin into kachim. I don't quite understand why that's any different than any of the other cases, when you also accomplish some sort of halachic effect with your words. And again, I there are a couple of possibilities. Maybe it's an action that will come in the future. I'm not quite sure, though, what this Gemara means in a simple way. And again, any suggestions are welcome. But as I also told the first year, if you don't know what it means, please don't try to explain it to me. No offense intended to anybody. But, you know, things like that can happen. Yes?
Doesn't Rashi say at the very beginning when we started talking about that Gemara is merely the statement?
Yeah, so is a Shvuah Shav merely a statement?
But the Shvuah Shav
something.
So I talked about the possibility, but what about Truma? You're affecting something when you make that statement too. It's again, it's hard, right? Mikala chavero b'shem. I don't know if it's true. You may not. I guess you're cursing the person, but it's hard for me to understand what the difference is between this case and other cases. Again, I right now I wish I had an answer. I don't have an answer for you. There are a few possibilities. We can try to float the possibility this will affect an action later on, and it changes the status of something else, and Truma may be different for another reason. We can come up with different ideas, and they're probably leading in the right direction, but I don't have a concrete answer that I can tell you this is the Pshat of the Gemara. So, anyways, continues the Gemara after that. Hamakalos Chavero B'Shem. Now we get to the final case, which is, again, really hard to follow at some points. I'm probably going to go over the end part of it tomorrow. We've got a bit of a shorter daf, although it looks, from when I started looking at it this morning, quite complicated. Okay. Says Igmar, Minalan, where do we know that Mikalos Chavero Bishem is an example of a case where one will get Malkus for just doing a lav she'en bo maase? Says Igmar, Amar Lazar Roshi, Amar Kra, the Torah tells us, Im los ishmor lasos, uchsiv vifla, shemes makosecha, two psukim in a row. If you do not guard, and also it says, vihifla hashemes makosecha, Hashem will be maflia, your maka. I'm specifically leaving that vague, because the Gemara says, hafla azu, enu yode ama, eni yode amahu. What does this hafla mean? What does it mean, Hashem will be mafli, your makos? Kishihu omer, so the Gemara brings another pasuk, when it says, vipiloa, shafet viko, lefanav, right, when the shofet tells him and throws him over his, takes him, throws him over his knees, goes, one, two, three, right? So what happens there? Obviously, again, he doesn't throw him over his knees. But when he's giving him Malkus, it says, Vihi pilo ha-shofet v'yikol lefanav, hevi yomer, hafla azu Malkus. Vifla shemes makoscha, sounds like there's actually going to be a drasha here, says the Gemara, that the punishment for v'im los tishmor, whatever that means, is Malkus, that one will get lashes. Amar, says the Gemara, one second, how do you know that's referring to mekalel as chavero b'shem? Maybe it's even more inclusive. Amar, afilu shvuas emes. Maybe keeping, you know, again, guarding in this way, which we're referring to, you know, fearing God's name and keeping God's name holy, maybe that will even apply to a truthful vow. If someone says, I swear, and some says something that's the truth, maybe that also should be punishable by lashes. Okay? I mean, whatever, at the end of the day, if you have to be, you know, very worried about using God's name, it should maybe apply, even when you're saying true things. Says the Gemara, no, 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 no. Behed yaksiv, shvuas Hashem tiyev bin shem. We have another passage which says business partners, you know, or people that were watching things, you know, will have to swear to one another. So obviously there's nothing wrong with swearing truthfully. Says the Gemara, mehechatesi, how do you know that? Right? Emar hani mili lefayas es chavero. That's maybe to calm down your friend, aval milka lilki. But, you know, to just do that, maybe we would think you get Malkus. Says the Gemara, lo matzis amris. You can't say that. Dehaksiv, because we have another passage that says, uvishmo tishavea, you should swear in his name. That's the way the Gemara is darshaning here to say, swearing in Hashem's name for the right reasons is totally okay, and one will not get Malkus for that. Therefore, that leaves our pasuk of Imlos Tishmor on God's name to be referring to a case where one curses a friend with God's name, and that's a case where they will get Malkus as a lav, she'ein bo maaseh. Asks the Gemara, are you sure that Uvishmo Tishavea is really available for that drasha to tell you that you should swear in God's name? Omi ba'ile lichtarav. We need it for another case. Damar of Gidol Amarav, Minayin Shenish Bain L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah. How do we know that you're allowed to make a Shvua to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs? For example, I remember, I didn't mention this at the first stuff, so you guys get some bonus stuff, I guess, that I remember reading a Tshuva from the Deborah Tziner as part of our Chaburu at the university students this year at the Kolel. You know, the question of someone swore not to bring a TV into their house. And, you know, it was a whole thing. He wanted to know the person wanted to be Matir Neder because they realized they were going to bring one in. And he had a question, is it better to be matir this person's neder, and then at least they're not over on Avon Nedarim as well, and they're only over on Avon TV? Mm-hmm. Or is it better to say, how can we tell this person to do an Avera by being matir their neder in this case? Anyway, it's an interesting case, but in that discussion it comes up about Nishba L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah, right? There are some times when people will want to take, want to promise that they'll do something. I promise to wake up for Daf Yomi, or to learn Daf Yomi every day, so that's something you can do, that's a good thing. How do we know? We have a pasuk that comes from Tehillim. Now, also as part of this, as noted, Uvishmo Tishavea is relevant to this drasha as well. It's another source for this that's from the Torah. Uvishmo Tishavea says you should swear about that which he is focused on, meaning about the mitzvos. So says the Gemara, so can we really use Uvishmo Tishavea to tell you that you're allowed to swear normally? Haksiv krachrina, says the Gemara, it's fine. We've got two Uvishmo Tishaveas anyways. You can use one for Nishba L'Kayim Es HaMitzvah, and you can use one to tell you that you're supposed to swear in God's name. Uvosid bak Uvishmo Tishavea, another one. So therefore, don't worry, we've got two Uvishmo Tishaveas, and we're all set. So says the Gemara, fine. So we've at this point, we've established that Vehifla Hashem and Imlos Tishmor come to tell you that if you curse your friend with Hashem's name, you're going to get Malkus. Ask the Gemara one second. Why is it that you chose to say that case refers to cursing your friend? Maybe it simply refers to taking the name of Hashem, Levatala. Okay, not necessarily swearing Levatala, but even Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. For no good reason. Says the Gemara, fine, let's say it was talking about that. Migara Mikalas Chavero B'Shem Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. Would this case be any less relevant to getting Malkus then? Meaning, if we're even going to give you Malkus for just saying Hashem's name for no reason. Certainly, if you curse someone else with Hashem's name, we're going to give you Malkus. So we've accomplished our goal anyways. We found the source either way. Says the Gemara, no, 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 you misunderstood the question. Anan hachi kakashalan, we're asking something different. Ema motzi shem shemayim levatala tiskile b'malchus. B'malchus, sorry. Says the Gemara, what we're saying is, if we were to learn this pasuk as just referring to motzi shem shemayim levatala, as simply saying Hashem's name for no reason, then it might be enough, you know, to get you off the hook for that small avera by giving you malchus. Ava mekalach avera b'shem. Kaman dekav itarti, dekav one, mapin one, dekav mapik shem shemayim levatala v'two, dekav mitzar leil chavrei lo tiski lei b'malchus. But says the Gemara, havamina was, it's such a bad avera cursing someone else, that you wouldn't even get off the hook with malchus, you might even need something stronger. Who knows? You know, Hashem can decide on what punishments are relevant for those things. So, at the end of the day, says the Gemara, so you wouldn't know that that would be relevant here. Says the Gemara, lo matzis amres, you can't say that. It already says in the Torah that you can't curse anybody, okay? Klal Stam, whether it's Klal Shev Hashem. The Girsos here are a little bit hard to figure out, but we'll do our best. And if we're going to say that if it comes to B'Makal Chavero, we're going to learn the Azhara, the warning, from here. Because it says, if you're going to say that it's referring to Moshe Shem Shemayim Levatala, Azhara Se Mehecha. Where are you going to find an Azhara? Meaning it's like a two-part sort of, you need the warning and you need the case itself to tell you that you will get Malkus for this Lav She'in B'maseh. So says the Gemara, you won't have this double Pasuk. Meaning one, you need Lo Tzikal Acherish. On top of that, we tell you that you get Malkus from the Hifla Hashem. So that makes sense. But if you're going to say this talking about Moshe Shem Shemayim Levatala, how would you possibly get the basis for this? Where would you get the warning in the Torah to tell you that here, we're telling you you specifically get? Malchus says, the Gemara, Alam Allah, why can't you find a source? Because we have a pasuk that says you should fear Hashem and, you know, and guard him. Says the Gemara, who asaras asehu? That's an asaras asehu, which is not as good as an asaras los asehu. It's not considered an asara, and therefore we wouldn't be able to establish this case of vihifla, and this case of Imlos Ishmar, that Pasuk would not be able to be relevant to Moshe Shem Shemayim Levatala because we don't have an additional warning. However, it would be relevant to a case of cursing where we do have that additional warning. And God willing, we'll pick up tomorrow.